The reading this morning is taken from John, reading from chapter 20, reading from verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. As well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head, the cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. Then they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to Mary. She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord.
So welcome to part two of the Easter message. Part one, of course, was Good Friday. But we can't leave Jesus on the cross, can we? Which is why I personally am not keen on those crosses with a picture, a model of Jesus on, because Jesus is no longer on the cross. Now, mankind has always had a problem with death because it's a problem they can't solve. How many films, books, songs talk about immortality, life and death? Did anyone here a Queen fan? Anyone like Freddie Mercury? Freddie Mercury sung a song called "Who Wants to Live Forever." Has anyone heard that song? Now, the film in question was Highlander, about a man who just couldn't die. But all the people around him were mortal, and they were dying, and he had to kind of face the fact that he was immortal and everyone else was mortal. Doctor Who, anyone like Doctor Who? Well, Doctor Who just goes on forever, doesn't he? And there's one episode that I really like called The Girl in the Fireplace, where his TARDIS got stuck in the 1700s in France, And there was a French girl that he became friends with. He went away for a couple of minutes, came back, and she was grown up. He went away, came back, and she'd passed away. There are loads and loads of films, books, and songs dealing with life and death, immortality. I went to a charity shop locally, and there was a big record by Jim Reeves. My mum liked Jim Reeves. Anyone else like Jim Reeves? And it had him writing, "The Immortal Jim Reeves." But he died in a plane crash. He's not immortal. In fact, nobody, no human being is immortal. None of us are immortal. Remember Superman 2? I mean, someone like Superman can't die. And Superman 2, he fought General Zod and a couple of other guys. And there was a bit where a lady screams, "Oh, Superman's dead, Superman's dead," in an American accent, of course. The reality is, none of us are immortal. No one throughout history has ever died and came back to tell us, except one man. And over 500 people saw Jesus Christ alive again when he resurrected from the dead. And all these people who saw Jesus alive were willing to die for what they'd seen. How many of you would die for something that is a lie? How many of us would die for something that is not true? They had seen and witnessed Jesus Christ. Over 500 people. Every disciple of Jesus was martyred. Why? Was it because they believed strongly in something? No. Because they met Jesus Christ, the only person in history to come back from the dead and to tell us, actually, what heaven is like. Well, today's story from the New Testament is all about people that actually were expecting to see Jesus dead in the grave. Which is really interesting because Jesus said a couple of times to his disciples, "I'm going to rise again." You think if someone says, "I'm going to rise again," they'd remember that, wouldn't you? It's like, have you ever told someone, "Can you please make sure the oven's on, otherwise we're not going to eat?" And you have to remind them two or three times, and they don't. And they come, and the person cooking comes back and says, "I told you to put the oven on." "Oh, I just forgot." That's kind of me. I'd forget something like that. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 16 and in Matthew 20, "I am going to rise again." He says in chapter 16, "The Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, chief priests, the scribes, be killed, Good Friday, and rise again." And then Matthew 20, Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. On the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, "Look, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked, flogged, and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." In Luke 24, in the resurrection story, even the angels had to remind the disciples, "Look, he's not here. But do you remember that Jesus told you he was going to rise from the dead?" I think it was the dark, brutal Friday with people in fear of their lives, which the point was lost. I think when we're scared, when so much is happening, we sometimes forget God's promises. And that's just like you and me. We can have a tough time in life, and it's during those tough times we find out what our foundations are like. Do we remember what we read in Scripture? Do we remember the words of Christ? Now, we can look up the New Testament Christians and say, "Ah, silly people. How can they forget what Christ has said?" But how many of us struggle to forgive ourselves? Well, Christ said we're forgiven. How many of us accept Christ's words and we forget them? That's why it's really important to read the Word of God, because Jesus says so many things to you and me, and we need to soak ourselves in God's Word and remember what Jesus said. Otherwise, we were silly as the early disciples who completely forgot that Jesus said he was going to rise from the dead. Do you know that you're loved? Do you know that you're forgiven? Do you know that if you come to Christ, you can have new life? Let's read God's word, because Jesus has said many things for us. So who was the first person to, one of the first people to see Jesus alive is Mary Magdalene. And in verse 2, we know that she wasn't alone, because she uses the plural we. So there we go. Magda and a group of ladies went down to the tomb. And she probably went about before 6 a.m. I don't think they went forward an hour on the clock, as we do. But it was still dark. And we know it's probably before 6 o'clock because the Romans, they timed the night, okay? There were four parts to the evening. And one of those watches, the last one, is 3 till 6. So the fact that it was dark probably suggests it was before 6 a.m. And of course, Mary went down to the tomb, expecting to see Jesus in his tomb. Roman guards outside, a massive boulder that can weigh between 2 and 3 tons. So she was probably expecting a group of lads to kind of push the boulder away so she could see Jesus. And what does she come to? She came to an empty tomb. Her heart must have skipped a beat because it's all dark. And you get to the tomb and you can just make out that there's no stone there. And it's a dark. I'd be scared. Would anyone else be scared if you went to see something you expect and it's an empty tomb? You think, oh, what's happened? What's happened? She ran off and she told Peter and John. And Peter and John, they ran to the tomb. Now John, who wrote the gospel that Phyllis read the story from, he was in that race, and he tells everyone, I beat Peter, yes! Not only does Jesus love me, because he says that, the disciple whom Jesus loves. He also said, and I beat Peter in a race, yeah. I'm brilliant, aren't I? But he does say that Peter, instead of stopping at the doorway, he ran in. Now, I just want to tell you, in the story of Peter and John looking into the tomb, the Greek have three different words for seeing, okay? I saw in English, I saw, and I saw. So the first one is John, he glanced in, okay? The actual Greek word is parakupto, which means to just, hello, have a glance in, and he notices that it's empty. And then Peter goes in, and Peter saw, the Greek word is theorio, which means to study intently. So he's looking at the, you know, and thinking, oh, what's going on? But what's important is when John goes to have a look, it's eidon, which means to see and to understand. So all of you who have ever done a maths equation, and you know your maths really well compared to the person next to you, and the person studying it, what's 1 plus 1? And you look at it and say, oh, that's 2. Because you've looked at it and you completely understand. You completely understand what it means. And it says that John believed. The words of Christ suddenly, John, do you remember that Jesus said he was going to rise from the dead? Here's his grave clothes. His grave clothes, by the way, were laid perfectly as if somebody was actually buried in those grave clothes. If it was a robber or a thief, they would have just undone it all and chucked it. Jesus was alive and John believed. When John writes about Thomas, doubting Thomas, later on in chapter 20, verse 29, Jesus says these words, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And that's the message for you and me. When we read God's word, we read what God is saying to us as a group of people and as individuals. But if God is speaking to you, do you believe what God is saying to you? Or do you doubt? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And then Mary is crying at the tomb, isn't she? She's at the tomb and she's crying because the person that she really loved has died, and she thinks he's been stolen or someone has taken Jesus away. How does she recognize Jesus? She recognized Jesus because he said in a particular way, Mary. Now, I'm sure most of you all have a pet name, okay? So when I was a child, they used to call my sisters and my mum used to call me Dodd. And it all comes back to a baby. My sister couldn't say John, Jonathan. She said Dodderden. And it went Dodderden to Dodd. But the point is, you've all got a name that very few people might know what that is. It's a pet name. So imagine if someone just suddenly says that. You turn and you think, they know who I know that voice. I know who that is. And it says here that they said it in Aramaic. So the writing's gone from Greek to the Aramaic here. A personal, personal voice saying, Mary. And Mary turned and said, my teacher, Rabboni. Do you know that's how God treats you? He knows each one of you by name. He knows every single issue that's going on in your life. And he looks at you and he says, saying, well, all of you are wonderful and all of you are special, which is also true. But he says, Elijah. And he speaks to you personally. We have a God who made billions and billions of stars and planets and yet knows you by name. In Isaiah, it says that God loves you so much that he's written your name on the palm of his hand. We have a God that isn't far away. We have a God that is personal. Three things to take away then about the resurrection before I finish. First of all, Jesus is the resurrection. You go to a funeral, the person always, almost always says, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, shall he live. John 11:25. Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the one that is life. It says in Colossians that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So if God is life and created everything, Jesus was there from the very beginning. He is God. He was involved in creating creation. You cannot kill life. You cannot kill God. It's impossible for Jesus to actually die. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus was there from the beginning. You can go and find any wise teacher, any religious person, and you'll find their tomb. Jesus doesn't have a tomb. His tomb is empty. He is alive. He cannot be killed. The second is resurrection is key to your Christian faith. 1 Corinthians 15 says, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. And so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But if God did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. So basically, without today, this is useless. Why are we here? We are here because Christ was raised. If there was no resurrection, let's pack our bags and go home. Jesus rose from the dead. And it is pivotal to the Christian faith. There are lots of people with religious ideas, but only Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And our last point is resurrection is our hope. Resurrection is our hope. Romans 8:11 says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So if you are a Christian, If you follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit is living in your life. The same Holy Spirit that is part of the Trinity. And then when we stand before God, we will have eternal life. The Bible describes the Holy Spirit as a deposit. It says, and you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. So it's like, have you ever gone out somewhere, but you're a bit nervous and you phone up someone and say, can you meet me outside and we'll go in together? Or perhaps you've gone to a concert and you've been fortunate enough that someone from the band has given you a pass. And then you get to the security man and said, you're not allowed through here. And the person said, don't worry, he's with me or she's with me. That's like when we stand before God. We all will stand before God and God will look at you and we'll all have to give an account. And Jesus will come and put his arm around you and say, he's with me, she's with me. The Spirit is a deposit that we have eternal life. So Christianity is not a club. It's not about how many times we pray, how many times we read our Bible. Salvation is about having that new life that Jesus offers through his Holy Spirit and having certainty and peace. How do you know that you have a place in heaven? Because Jesus says. If Jesus says he was going to die for you and forgive all your sins, prepare a place, all the words of Christ hinged on the fact that he was telling the truth. Jesus rose from the dead, and it's because Jesus is alive, I know that I'm forgiven. It's because Jesus is alive, I know I have a place in heaven. It's because Jesus is alive that I can live day to day knowing that God is with me. Do you have this certainty in your life? Do you trust the words of Christ? We have Jesus Christ. Let's follow him today, the resurrected Savior. And if you don't know Jesus, follow him. Invite him into your life and let this be an incredible Easter. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your resurrection, a resurrection that gives us hope, a resurrection that tells us that you are Lord, that you are God, a resurrection that tells us that we can trust in your words. I pray, Lord, that for this Easter, that we will listen to your words and know that you are here with us. As we leave here today, help us to realize that we don't go through life on our own, that you walk with us. And Lord, if anyone here hasn't made that commitment to follow you, I pray that you will open their hearts and they will follow you today and invite you into their life. Amen.